Okay, so what is human resource management as a profession? So you guys are studying human resources, right? You understand the basics of organization structure, the purpose of workforce planning. I've discussed all of that with you. I taught you, your last assignment also was enrobed in creating an assignment. Also understanding what are the various roles that each part of a workforce entails. So when we look at this document here, human resource management, and the point of this voice note lecture today. So look, this is going to be a preferred way of me teaching because the load shedding times have been very disruptive. And secondly, to make matters worse, we've have number of people that are not coming to class for some reason or the other. And the third concern is that we've had too many holidays, Thursday, Friday, and it was graduation, then it was the public weekend and so forth. So if you look at the article, we look at understanding what human resource management is. So, the human resource management is a spotlight worldwide. Why do you think we understand that? In most companies cannot function without human resource management, right? So we know it's integral to a workforce functioning. It's got a very big function, right? So we need to understand what do we mean by the words profession? What do we mean by professionalization? So what is a profession and what is professionalism in the context of a current study? Profession is a term that describes a domain of purpose. All right. So that means what your job portfolio entails. What exactly is your domain of expertise, the domain of purpose? What do you fulfill in terms of the role, for example? So profession is applied, the term, in terms of the understanding the concept and vocabulary, English vocabulary of the word profession. It's applied to multiple jobs around the world or careers. That's careers, another word, for law, medicine, engineering, business, academics, and so forth. There are many definitions of profession, for example. So if you look at the first bit of the article, we look at the definitions. But for you to understand exactly what a profession is, I'm reading here. During the 1970s, Friedson said that the term profession was founded on independent practice, self-auditing processes, expert knowledge, and special value in its work, as well as monopoly and service to the public. Around the same time, Hall suggested that professions start with a professional model, its accompanying attributes, and profession-specific content. Professionalization, on the other hand, is a method of making a developing occupation socially legitimate. In the course of forming and defining itself, an occupational group must construct and maintain occupational boundaries that consist of social or cultural divisions and help to indicate a group's work, societal roles, and legitimacy. So basically, professionalism is developing a career occupation and making it very legitimate within a social setting, within the workplace. Right? So it's forming and defining itself as an occupational group. So professionalism is a profession's ability to indicate that work is significant. So when something is professional, it is of significance. It's important, it's of value, and it's very much needed. All right? So professionalism progresses and understanding what professionalism is, they are also central characteristics like codes of ethics, professional associations, and specialized skills. Professions should move through four stages in a chronological order during the process of professionalizing. Chronological order, I am referring to a system, something that is systematic, that is creating full-time positions, then establishing a training school, then establishing a professional body, and then establishing a code of ethic. So there we understand the process of professionalization. So we're developing an occupation, a skill, right? A career trajectory into a full-time one and creating an occupational territory, establishing training schools or colleges and linking these to universities, promoting the occupation to national and international levels or standardization per se, and developing a code of ethics. So now we look at particular, we understand, and I always tell you, understanding and studying is very important in terms of our local context, right? So now we're looking at the five factors that affect a drive towards professionalizing human resources in South Africa. What does it take for human resources for a career to be valued, to be to have its space, to be of importance, to get to build as a definite career space? What does it take per se, right? So the first factor is increased awareness. Increased awareness of what? We're looking at increased awareness of what human resources does exactly, right? And in South Africa, for example, and also understanding the ethical and the ethical role of conduct that human resources uphold within businesses. Okay. So it's also human resources role also emphasizes values, conduct, fairnesses, accountability, responsibility, and transparency in corporate governance. All right. A human resource environment is there to ensure compliance with suitable codes of conduct. Okay, so let's look at us just being employed at UniZulu, for instance. I can't just take leave when I need to take leave. I've always am in line with HR in terms of how many days leave I'm off, what am I doing, what am I not doing. Am I, of course, meeting the research output criteria? Am I, of course, doing an adequate job in my teaching approach with you as well? So that is the role of human resources, right? So we look at compliance, number two. Number three, there is a need for a recognized body of knowledge and standards of conduct in the practice of human resource management. This was identified in South Africa in the late 70s. Paradoxically, the heart of the problem is the professional status of human resource management. People from all walks of life practice human resource management. Many who practice HR management are not HR professions, but this affects their understanding and their knowledge of HR management. The number of applications for professional registration of SABPP has received from people with widely diverse backgrounds, and this illustrates it as well. Some people actually practice HR management without any formal training. This does not happen in any other major profession where for qualification is a minimum requirement to enter the profession or career trajectory. Companies which redirect employees who are unsuccessful in other departments into the human resources departments create these various entry points from other disciplines. In a research conversation at a local government seminar in South Africa, delegates call this practice dumping. So basically, when we're saying what is dumping? Dumping is a devastating effect. People that are not competent in other levels or just have a very general overview of how to function in the workplace and are not really specifically defined in any particular way or particularly have any particular expertise in one area, which is always normally a plus sign for anybody. And then they are supposedly dumped into HR. So as a result, HR has also been lacking in South Africa in terms of its status and the value that it brings to an organization. All right. The fourth factor that influences the study of human resource management as a profession is quality management system for education and training in South Africa. All right. SAQWA. So SAQWA has been introduced. So it's raised a national awareness for the need of acceptable standards and for measuring or controlling the quality of education and training on a much wider scale than it was attempted before in South Africa, right? SAQWA came into play in 1995. Now, at the same time, let's go back to understanding. I'm sure you guys all got friends that have studied at UNISA, right? Now, a lot of them have been formerly employed and maybe have permanent jobs in big corporate companies and also fill in the roles of HR practitioners, human resource professions, HR practitioners, but they never really had a qualification to support that per se. So as a result, UNISA then offered them a part-time degree, which actually gave them an opportunity to find an expertise in human resources management. Similar for you to understand, for example, the value of workforce planning, the value of workforce terms, and so forth, right? So similarly,
HR has had various developmental growths and spurts in South Africa. You find people have become professionals in HR, but not necessarily with a qualification to support that. And then you've got those that have basically become experts in HR, but without a formal training or skill or qualification. Now, to accommodate and acknowledge people that have gained skills and expertise purely through work experience, we have something called RPL, recognition of prior learning. A lot of degrees and diplomas, for instance, one is allowed to actually register or, for example, join an educational institution, even whether they have an exemption or not, depending on the age and what they want to study for, especially for diplomas, because they have RPL. And that is something as seen as recognition of prior learning. So there we understand what does it mean to have HR professionalism, right? So you've got to be completely aware of what each company's organization, human resources are for HR, for instance, okay? What exactly does a company want to meet? Are you keeping the ethics and the quality and the outputs of the particular company in line? Are employees, for instance, adhering to company policy, regulations, and employment, national government regulations, for instance, right? So if we have to move on, like we've got SACWA, the South African SABPP is a recognized standard body for human resource management. Now, what does SABPP stand for? Does anybody know? SABPP. What does SABPP? Now, please understand that all these terms are going to help you in the exam, right? And what standards are we looking at here, for instance? So SABPP, South African Board of Personal Practice, right? So that includes all policies and all central understandings of HR. What is workforce planning, learning and development, performance management? What is performance management? Are employees, for example, meeting their sales targets? Are they exceeding their sales targets? How are they aligned to in terms of their work profession, to their progression and their commitment to the company, for instance, right? So that's when we look at HR standards. What are HR standards, for instance? So HR standards, for example, are clearly aligned, and this national South African system, okay, was launched in August 2013 after an intensive period of collaboration and co-creation within the HR profession, right? So it's a governing body, and this basically helps organizations be aligned, all right? So you've got human resources management that is closely aligned with talent management and risk management. And we understand what the risks are of a company and how to plan, for example. And risks also, remember you said, we've got to include it in workforce planning, for instance. So those are the roles. So what exactly is now an HR practitioner or an HR professional, right? So let's go back. The HR professional or practitioner is in charge of most cases employing people into the organization, making sure employees are aligned with ethical codes of conduct and the companies and national regulations, for instance. In addition, all right, the HR practitioner will ensure that people are have strengths and skills in the correct department and be placed and employed in the correct area of the company, for instance. If you go, if you look at page 5 of the reading, right? Let's turn to page 5. Right. Page 5. Right. Pillar 1, mastery of a complex body of knowledge and skills. Professional boards accredit the curricula of training institutions before professionals can register with these boards. So you cannot just, even as a human resource practitioner, you need to obviously be aligned in terms of your skills, your trainings, your knowledge, and so forth. The cornerstone of professionalism is knowledge and skills. Each of these professions has specific guidelines for the knowledge and skills people need to have if they want to become professionals. Academic and other training institutions use these guidelines when developing their curricula for accreditation by professional bodies. Pillar 2, commitment to integrity and morality through a code of conduct. So the pillar was vital to all the professions. The emphasis in all the professions was on how professionals should behave in broader society whilst maintaining the integrity of their professions. Pillar 3, autonomy in practice and privilege of self-regulation. This pillar was common to all the professions. It implies that it is essential for professionals to become autonomous in their work. Pillar 4, acceptance of a duty to society as a whole. There is a duty to society in all the professions. None of these professions can operate in isolation. These pillars, the researchers developed and numbered tables from these pillars, right? So, table 1 basically, in your books as well, give you an overview of the structure of these professions in South Africa. So let's go to the first tabulation. Let's just look at the structure. Right, so you've got a regulatory body, then you've got a professional title, then you've got a requirement, then you have an internship, then you've got CPD, you've got a code of ethics and applicable laws. So that just basically gives you an understanding that there's a framework and that people in these four professions, legal, engineering, medical and accounting, all have accountability in terms of HR development, right? So HR predominantly deals with giving an organization a structure, giving them regulations, and also an international or local standardization process.